Good day and welcome to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. I am your host, James Sutherland, and with me is producer, almost extraordinaire-ish, pretty much. Jason Hewlett.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening.
But what are we on, the Truman Show?
Some days it feels like it.
It doesn't it?
It's also December.
Oh my God. Thanks. And that's the end of the show. Thank you very much.
Another dismal year down, almost.
Wow, yeah, it is. Holy man, it's December, and so now we're days away from Christmas, and that's exciting.
So that already has planted the seed of an idea in my head. Uh-oh. As the producer. Because we got an interview this week.
Uh-oh.
And could potentially have something next week.
Did I say uh-oh?
We need to start thinking Christmas on the Anatomic Fitness Podcast, because Christmas and fitness don't always go hand in hand. And I remember a couple of years ago, I had this jackass of a personal trainer on my radio show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we were talking.
That's too bad.
Because he was ruining the holidays by saying you can still train and eat right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Wow, what a jackass that was.
That's why I used the word jackass. But we should allow him to, now that he has his own show, talk about that kind of thing.
Maybe we should contact him and get him on this show.
He was you.
Oh. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Do you now?
Yeah, I remember the look on your face as I said all those things, too.
Just the swearing behind the mic as I had muted my mic.
Well, exactly. And I think that's a good point. I think we can kind of expand on that through the month of December, is the fact that a lot of people, you know, they have this whole idea of a New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, in January 1st, I'm back at it. And it's like, well, why not today?
And why not today? Why do you have to wait a month to get there, right?
Why is 2022 going to be any different than 2021? Everyone thought 2021 was going to be different than 2020. It ended up being just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, so, I'd almost go to the worst route.
Right? Well, especially in BC.
Yeah.
So I think, having that kind of theme heading through December about, I think we're going to have to touch on mental health for a lot of that too.
Yeah.
But the mental health aspect of that, because everyone's stressed out because it's Christmas time and, you know, you have to buy all these presents and you have to do all this and all these other things are added to your plate. Some of you, you know, you might be in some kind of pantomime play or something in the,
why
at the end of the year.
Why would someone agree to being in a pantomime play over Christmas?
Because they're a sucker for their daughter?
That's a good enough reason, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know who that would be, but I'm sure there's somebody out there.
Might have been the same jackass that was on a radio show.
It might have been that same jackass.
So that is the word of the week.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently. Last week it was Letterkenny references, and now this week it's just plain old jackass.
That's right.
There you go.
We've gone off topic, which is fine.
That never, ever happens on this show. So last week we did cover meditation.
We did.
A bit. And you were able to secure... Again, let's remind the listening audience around the globe who it was that you were able to secure for this interview.
Jolene Lindsay, who is a local grief counselor here in Kamloops. But she brings meditation and spirituality into her practice, which is something...
Very rare.
Meditation, sure, maybe.
But...
Spirituality, no. But I respect that as someone who's a spiritual person myself. Not religious, spiritual. There's a difference.
Yeah, big difference.
Huge difference. But she leads her clients through meditation as part of the counseling, I figured she'd be a great person to talk to about that, because find someone who can do it.
And something very unique, like you said, a unique perspective, and she's obviously had some success with it. So you have the nice chat with her.
Yep.
So we're going to go through that.
We're going to go through that. On the other side, we'll kind of touch on a few key points, but I mean, we cover off how it works in terms of, in our very active, high-stress lifestyle here in the Western world, how it is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Not only as a performance, not even gauge, as a performance enhancer.
Ah, there you go.
To be focused. Meditation does that for you. So we talk about that, how it applies to fitness, how it's becoming more accepted.
Globally.
Globally.
Yeah.
Not just in the East, which is where it really started.
Right.
So we'll have her discuss that way better than I can right now, because I'm under-caffeinated. Still very, very early in the day.
All right. So this is Jolene.
Well, Jolene Lindsay.
Jolene Lindsay.
Well, just counselor.
Counselor. There we go. Something like that. There we go.
Way to go.
Well done.
Here she is. Okay. So I guess first, Jolene, tell me who you are and what you do and how meditation fits into that.
Yeah. So my name's Jolene Lindsay. I am a counselor. and social worker by trade. So all of my work is in the private counseling industry. And really, meditation is something that I explored in my personal life more than I did my professional life initially, but it's rolled into a lot of the recommendations I do for people in their trauma work, their grief work, their self-development work, performance enhancement work. It just has so many incredible benefits when we look at the brain and how it impacts the brain and the body, and therefore our interactions with the world and our environment around us. Yeah. So that's kind of how I use it. But again, it became something that I personally started investing in just for my own wellness, my own having three kids and running a household and having a job. It was like the first time I actually was able to just sit and have like a conversation with myself, be the only person in my head, fully give myself my own attention. We are not, Western culture for sure, does not live in a slowed down enough state to sit down and give yourself 100% of your attention.
Well, it's funny because we were talking about being busy before we went on here, right? Busy people like us need that break. I did the same thing. I did it when, you know, my son was born and I was working full time at the paper and I covered crime and a lot of dark stuff. And it was just a way to step out of that world and in your own brain, just let everything kind of process for you, right?
We'll sit there across the table. I mean, this is what I do in my business. I sit and I 100% attend to somebody else. When was the last time I 100% attended to myself, right? And journaling can offer us that, and meditation can offer us that. And I think we just have different views of like what meditation is. Like, it's not all chanting. When I talk with especially a lot of my male clients, they're like, well, I go for runs and I just kind of run my mind off, or I like to sit by the creek and I just like whatever thoughts come forward. And those are absolutely forms of mindfulness meditation. There's lots of different kinds. When people are first starting, I usually get them to try some guided meditations. I have some recorded on my website for that reason, because then I can just direct all my clients there and I keep them under 10 minutes because I know how hard it is when you're building this muscle. And like, learning to meditate is like building a muscle. We don't just start bench pressing 120, right? We have to build that up. And I really tell people it's the same thing. Your grocery list is going to pop into your mind. Your, you know, random sounds downstairs are going to start distracting you. And it's just about gently bringing yourself back and training your brain for that discipline piece.
Now, why? I know, like we've already talked about how it's good to give you, it's your time, right? This gives you your time, your 10 minutes a day that you need to yourself. But there's a lot of other benefits to it, especially if you're trying to stay fit, not only mentally, but physically as well, right?
Yeah. So what's the selling feature of having time with yourself these days? Nothing. Nobody wants that. I'm not selling any meditation by telling people you get to spend time with yourself, right? Most people are avoiding that, right? That's like the hidden benefit of it. So how I sell it? I tell people that it's going to have a direct impact on their productivity at work. It's going to have a direct impact on their health, and there's various different ways. So it will reduce, we have studies that shows it reduces blood pressure, and reduces depression and anxiety. It helps with any sleep disturbances or difficulty sleeping, because it can induce a relaxed state. We become so mindful of our body and we're able to like finally slow down and calm that fight or flight mechanism, essentially, is what's happening. We live in such chronic states of stress and alertness that we're bringing all that down. We're learning to self-regulate and regulate the body so that it can be in a rest and digest mode, right? That system can start to just calm. And when we're not in danger, when we're not hypervigilant, we can actually rest. Our heart can get a break, blood pressure, all those things, right? So we have so many other benefits of how that happens. What's happening in the brain? And when I'm doing trauma work, I do EMDR and different brain neurological processing work to work through traumatic issues and whatever people are in counseling for, we use it across the board. But essentially, you know, the amygdala is a part of our brain that is like our alert center. It's the fear center of the brain that says like, oh, danger, danger, right? So meditation directly impacts that part of the brain and it helps to calm it. And when that part of the brain is calm, it allows our frontal lobe, which is like all that prefrontal cortex, all that gray matter in the front, it allows that to function at its best, right? So now we're actually enhancing and creating more neural pathways and awareness and like letting that part of our brain do the best work. That's the part of our brain that responds. The amygdala is the part that reacts. That's the fight or flight. That is like the primal part of us that's like, ah. So by meditating, we're essentially like we're directly interacting with those parts of our brain and shrinking them, calming them, enhancing them, you know, depending on what those are. So those are huge pieces. And when people can see where that starts to play out in their life, oh, now I'm more focused at work because I'm not in this constant state of fight or flight. Now, you know, my body feels calmer. My pain levels are down, right? When we become calmer, safer, our body doesn't express pain the same way. We have a higher tolerance for it, or we're able to tolerate levels of pain and discomfort because we are not, like, the cup's not overflowing, right? And then again, like, the other benefits are, you know, sometimes a lot of people in, I'd say a huge amount of people that intentionally meditate are doing it for spiritual purposes. They're doing it for, you know, enhancing their intuition. We talked a lot before this about creativity and when creative things come, like when I'm sourcing all that stuff, I go straight to meditation. That's where it's coming, when I can slow things down enough to get it. However, when people have not tapped into that part of themselves because they've been entirely busy or disconnected from all of that, that's not going to be the selling feature right away, but I guarantee you it's going to be a side effect of meditation. And people are naturally going to start tapping into this area of their life, and they'll start noticing it in places like their professional work. So we were talking about how, you know, meditation can be talked about in a spiritual aspect, but if you look at any business building, profit oriented books, they will talk about the benefit of mental discipline, which is, again, focusing the mind, you know, reducing external stimuli. There are so many business related ventures of meditation and mindfulness practice that essentially bring all those creative ideas. They help reduce the fear to make the big risks in the businesses, all those kind of things, right? So there's tons of those benefits. And essentially, you know, if I wanted to tell the top CEO of that company, well, yeah, that was your intuition speaking, he'd be like, no, it wasn't. It was my mentally disciplined brain that was able to, you know, happening, and I was able to view it objectively, and I was like, okay, cool, that's your intuition, right?
Same thing.
So again, like, I sell it differently depending on who it is and what benefit they're seeking in their life, but I see where all of that benefit overlaps on various different levels, right?
It's funny too, because, like, you know, it's talked about, sort of, we mentioned how it's talked about in business and in spiritual practice, but I mean, from an athletic perspective, I mean, for martial arts, meditation is a huge part. I mean, I've been doing martial arts for years, right? And it's huge. It's a huge part, but you don't hear of that, like, in football or hockey or any other sport.
Yeah, it's so true. I love that you linked it with that. And especially, like, martial arts, a lot of the Eastern kind of originated sports, everything's working with energy. You're working with chi, you're working with a ton of different forms of energy. And in order to access energy, we do that through meditation, through intuition, guidance, all of that. So it's about, like, aligning with your inner guidance system, your connection with that energy. There's so much of that that's, like, rooted in all of that. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I've never been in karate, but I know enough about Eastern medicine and traditional Chinese medicine kind of approaches to those things. Right. But yeah, I love that Chris Hemsworth, for example, right, started CenterFit at the beginning of COVID, people working out at home. I don't know if they're working out or just watching his videos, but either way, there's benefit. So that could be rather meditative, right? But essentially, he started weaving in meditation practice in there. And people are like, well, if Chris Hemsworth doing it, I'm going to do it. If Thor can do it, I'm going to do it. Right. And I love that he did that, because that is, like, when people start investing in themselves physically, they start being more attentive to what they're consuming in their life, whether it's dietary, social media, you know, relationships with people. They're no longer going to the pub and drinking with their buddies because they're waking up and going to the gym with some other people. So we naturally detox these areas of our life. And I love that he added meditation in there to really look at how the brain and the body and the spirit can be working together in this, like, fitness journey, which is essentially, like, becoming one's best self. And sadly, in our culture, we often will get there by just physically trying to look a certain way to be happy ourselves, right? And it's about all the side effects of embarking on that health journey that are so beautiful, right? Because we truly then become much more happier and peaceful with ourselves, hopefully. So if you do look, there are a lot of, like, sports psychologists that work with sports teams now, right? And I love it because If you were to go and talk to some like real top athletes, their form of meditation is really interesting. They'd probably never call it meditation, but it is this form of mental discipline. It's about detaching from the emotion, detaching from some things and remaining, you know, just so aware. And where they kind of go through that process, I'm just thinking of that Michael Jordan, you know, if anyone watched his documentary, I think it was The Last Dance, it's called.
It sounds about right.
Yeah, you get to learn a bit about his mental discipline and the process through like what he anchored into in terms of like how to achieve his greatness. And it's really fascinating around the psychology of athletes and how they get to some of these places. Yeah.
You can't do it strictly, like you say, through physical work alone. Even if you're going to, you know, want to be a bodybuilder, like you listen, like what Schwarzenegger would talk about. I don't think he did meditation, but he had a goal. And he focused on it and he didn't let anything really knock him off that path, right? So it's the same kind of idea of mentally just zeroing in on one thing and just doing it.
Absolutely, right? And it's about becoming so mindful in that moment. And are we ever as mindful? And I am not a gym goer, okay? I was a dancer though, right? But like I would imagine if I'm sitting there doing 25 reps of something, I am nowhere else but in the present moment. Right? So that is like an incredibly mindful task. You are literally focusing on your breath, on every inch of muscle that's burning and pushing through. And there's this like mental acceleration of like, I can do this. And when you can push yourself and your body to those levels with that confidence and that like determination, I think that becomes so much more transferable in terms of confidence of pursuing things in life. Like, I know I can see myself through hard things. And that's the part where you also get like dopamine and endorphins released and all of this stuff that then becomes neurochemically really addicting, right? And we can reach those same kind of things through finding peaceful states, calming the body, doing all of that kind of stuff. So a lot of trauma work, when people are already physically exercising, I actually get them to, you know, in spin class or things like that, they're like, why am I crying after? I'm like, well, because what are you thinking about at the beginning of all that? What are you releasing? Because so much of that's held in our body. So it really starts to connect the two. Yeah. And The Rock is actually a really great model in that, you know, he starts talking and I don't think so much before, but he's like, there's a lot of high profile folks that are talking more about energy and about their connection too. And he talks about his mana, right? He's come back to his roots a lot in the last couple of years. There is no question as to why he went from $7 to $7. And really looking at, you know, he shares a lot about where his mental discipline is, where, I mean, like the gym is his church, but he also where he's balanced and like set back into these other areas of his life. And you can see that play out in his creativity, his success, so many different places. But yeah, he makes room for the stillness for sure.
Well, I think you have to, I mean, kind of to wrap it up, there's got to be balance in everything you do, right? And I mean, if you're a fitness guy, you got to have the quiet mental moments as well. And I mean, like we talked about before, if you're super creative, you got to balance that out.
Yeah, that's a tough sell for people, right? Especially when we're so like fast paced, like there's no time for that. But when you realize how much you gain in the time that you stop, right? When you realize that everything can come from those moments of nothing, right? Because, you know, we will take our cell phone and we will recharge it when we're at like 25%, 40% even for the day. But when would we ever do that for our bodies? So if we can take a 5 or 10 minute meditation and have it benefit our body and our mental focus, our memory, and, you know, our concentration, if we can have that benefit for the next 4 hours of our day, we will take that 10 minutes, right? So that's where my sell comes for a lot of people is I'm like, you can go into the next 4 hours depleted and have to put your body on low battery mode, or you can give it a quick recharge with a 10 minute meditation instead of sitting in the lunchroom gabbing with your friends, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever it be. And you will feel refreshed. You will be more focused. You will be more productive if you take that 10 minutes to do nothing, which is essentially doing everything. It's like kind of that whole like Taoism purpose, right? The whole idea of that, right? But it's a tough sell in Western culture to do nothing to achieve more. But more and more people are learning that. They're learning the beauty in that, you know? And like, I wish we would charge ourselves like we charged our cell phones. I wish.
I hit that wall myself just yesterday. So I'm starting to really figure that out. So Jolene, thank you so much for chatting with us about meditation. I really appreciate it.
Welcome. Thanks for asking.
And where do people find you?
Yeah. So my website is jolenedawn.com, JolenedawN.com. I have a little spiel about what the benefits of meditation are at the top of my page in one of the tabs there. And I have some pre-recorded meditations as well from a variety of things, you know, grounding meditations. I have a fuck off meditation. You have to bleep that out. Those are great to start with. There's a mindfulness one for kids. There's different morning meditations. There's a deep sleep one that I've actually been tracking with my Fitbit, and it does induce deeper sleep. So there's a bunch there to choose from, and they're just a great intro. I've kept them all under 10 minutes because that's, I think, a really great starting place for people. And it's great for that 10 minute pick me up in the middle of the day. And it's just a good way to get introduced to it. And then most people will expand their practice beyond that just by trying out different styles and stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Well, what'd you think?
That was spectacular. That's really intriguing. The way she seems to bring, like you said, that spirituality aspect to it. That's something I've never really heard of with a counselor. And she seems like, it's not like a side part of what she does. It seems like it's a huge part of what she does to really help people like yourself and myself that are, again, spiritual and not necessarily religious, but believe in the aspects of that. And as you guys talked about, Chris Hemsworth and Dwayne Johnson.
Hemsworth, he did that at the start of COVID, like she pointed out. And that was, I think, pretty bold for someone like a Chris Hemsworth, who's a very athletic human being and a big superstar, to kind of really take that on and put it just out there, to not only have fitness, but focus and meditation as a part of that.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, I think that's that sort of stuff, as well as mental health, has been coming a long way with social media stuff, with all these celebrities. Chris Evans posted a little while ago about, you know, that he was done for the night because anxiety for no reason in particular was hitting him, right? So, and Dwayne Johnson, like you guys talked about, you know, he's talked about meditation a lot more.
Well, he's embraced his roots.
You see all these mental health things and this meditation stuff coming from celebrities, so it's kind of making it not so taboo anymore.
Well, because we are a celebrity obsessed culture, so as soon as the person you're celebrity obsessed with starts bringing that up, you're gonna give it more
that's
weight.
Cool.
That's hey, if Dwayne Johnson can do it and look what success he's had, maybe I can.
Yeah, he's had a little success. Yeah,
he does okay for himself.
Yeah, he does well.
Yeah. Same with Hemsworth. I mean, he's all right too.
They do all right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're okay.
So maybe there is something to all this meditation stuff after all.
So the question I pose to you now, James, are you gonna take another shot at meditation?
I've already messaged her to try to set up an appointment.
Really?
I have, just well before we started recording today.
There you go. Well, thank you.
Well, yeah,
I think that's great.
It's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot. There,
and then so maybe we can pull that into the show. Maybe if I can get in before the end of December, we can pull that into to another episode and talk about that aspect of it and what the results were. And but yeah, I think it's vitally important, and I'm not going to sit here and preach about trying it and how good it can be and then not do it myself.
And it may help you with your pantomime play.
It may.
Stay focused through that. Because I know you're distracted.
Yes.
With the pantomime play.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff going on in that thing, and I have to wear a mask the
and
whole show.
And sing. I got tickets. I can't wait.
So for anybody out there that's in Kamloops or near Kamloops, yes, the Laughing Stock Theater Society is putting on a pantomime play the first time in 2 years at Sagebrush Theater over Christmas. And they are doing Sleeping Beauty, a not-so-maleficent pantomime. And if anyone doesn't know what a pantomime is, it's a play that you are actually supposed to be very vocal during. When the good guys come on, you're supposed to cheer and clap and be all happy. And when the bad people, like Maleficent and her evil crow, which
you are,
is
the
me,
evil crow,
come on, you're supposed to boo and hiss and, you know,
hey, crow!
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it's okay if you want to cheer the crow, because, you know, he's actually not that bad. But but yeah, so you can get your tickets online. Go to laughingstock.ca and follow the links. Jason can figure it out. So, I mean, pretty much anyone can.
Pretty much.
And they're very reasonably priced, very family friendly. It's like watching a Disney cartoon live.
There you go. Well, like I said, we're going to go the Monday after Christmas at the 1 o'clock.
I think I'm sick that day.
So who's the crow then that day?
There will be no crow. So the first act will be really short, because I'm in like 9 of the 12 scenes that opens up play. So if you're interested, you can hunt those down at laughingstock.ca, or you can message me and ask what the hell I was thinking, why I got into this. But it actually is turning out to be a lot more fun than I was expecting. So
there you go.
And I get to do a certain accent that shall remain nameless.
That I've been listening to for weeks now during our training, and it's starting to get really, really old really, really fast.
Excellent. We still got another month.
All right. So, James, where do they find you?
At James Suds on Instagram, or Anatomic Fitness Training and Coaching on Facebook.
And we'll be back next week
with a surprise. We don't even know.
We don't even know.
You're supposed to stop after he said surprise.
No.
Oh, okay. Anyways, thanks for listening to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.